Before we start this morning, I would have a couple of items I wish to bring to your attention. And that is that the palm crosses, I failed to put this in the bulletin, the palm crosses are available on the little table over there. So after Mass, be sure and avail yourselves of them. Also, after Mass, I would like to see the following people. If you just could give me just a few minutes of your time. I would like to see Mr. Girardi. I would like to see Mr. Bonametti. I would like to see Mr. Hand. I would like to see Mr. Morin. And I would like to see Mr. Roberts. And I would like to see Colin Niebuhr. This morning, Miss Lydia Olson will crown the Blessed Mother. In a very special way, I ask you to pray for this young lady as she does this magnificent job. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, today, of course, as we all know, we momentarily stop to honor Mother. And this, of all things, is one of the things that has been put into this use, even to the extent that the very name itself cannot be used in all circles with the dignity and the beauty that it connotes. So today we stop to look at Mother and to see what we can see that is beautiful in Mother. Mother is a very important person in God's universe because she is the one that gives life. She is the one that leads by the hand the new child and teaches the new child. What a pity it is that there are those who unfortunately do not teach good to their little children. But for those mothers who do teach good to their children, today is their day. And we must pray for them. We must ask Almighty God to give these ladies His very special attention. Because what they have to face today is awesome. It is also the day in which we give special honor to our Mother, our Blessed Mother. It is certain that Mary was the one who, for a moment, kept heaven and earth anxious. And that even the angels trembled until she, this young girl, until she said, "I will do it." But until she said those magic words, even heaven trembled. Now we might think that God chose Mary because she was a virgin. This is not true. There were virgins before Mary, and there have been many virgins since Mary. It was not the virginity of this young girl that attracted God's attention. It was her humility. This is what captured God. And because she was humble, and because she could say, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," that is why God the Father, the Son of Christ, chose her. Because humility is that virtue which makes us very holy and very pleasing in the sight of God. Today, as we think on the Blessed Mother, we cannot help but look up into the skies and see dark clouds all around us. Perhaps more than ever, this is true of right now. I have been a priest, soon to be 50 years. And in those 50 years of my priesthood, I have never, ever seen so much at one time. And this is what she has told us is going to be if we did not retrace our steps and go back to doing what we're supposed to do. Go back to being what we are supposed to be. Go back to being people of prayer. We've got too many prayerful people, the throngs of prayerful people. And as we read in last Sunday's bulletin, the throngs are not going to be the ones to become saints because they have not done it right. They have not acted according to God's way. We're each called to be saints, but how many of us are going to be saints? And if we're not saints, if we do not become saints, whose fault is it? I've said so many times that simply because we place our gift on the altar of tradition does not automatically make that gift acceptable. And let us ask ourselves a very serious question. Just why are we traditional Roman Catholics? Why? Have we forgotten, perhaps, that the only reason should be faith and not a cause? But some of us have put the cause in front of faith, and that's a very serious mistake. As we look around us today, outside, today, this very day, this beautiful day in May, as we all come here and come to church today to pay honor to our own mothers and to the mother of all mothers. As we look around today, we see our church in complete shambles. It's crumbled. We see children killing children. We see the elements of God turning against us and killing here and there, maiming people, dismembering people as they look about now and find pieces of people to bring together after the storm. We see war. We see killing. We see the threat of serious war. This is ringing in our hearts. We see Bishop, who in the name of holy tradition has ordained a woman, so-called, to the priesthood. And we see the threat, the horrible threat that seems to be hanging over the heads of us, everyone, as within the next few months, we approach the year 2000. My beloved people, these are the things that are coming together over our heads. And we see ourselves taking life, taking reality as a matter for granted. We can take it or leave it. The reality is not what we see here and now. This we know, and we have said this before, will all be carted away and put into a box. This we can see as we look around, and see people killed and pieces of people, pieces of humans scattered here and there. We see this. This is not reality. The important thing is what kind of life existed within these people. The thing that is important is what kind of life, what kind of reality exists in us. As I have told you on numerous occasions, the winds of disbelief, the winds of uncertainty, the winds that carry with them everything that is not at all conducive to peace in our hearts, are raging from all directions. And we're torn. We're torn one way or to the other. We've come to where we ourselves do not know who to believe. Because this person says this person says that. We received a thing only in this morning's mail, or yesterday's mail, we opened it today, so I guess that makes it this morning's mail. We received a thing today from a certain person elsewhere, who now is preaching loud and clear and sends page after page after page after page after page, one of those big brown manila envelopes. Giving all the reasons, giving all the arguments, giving all of the debate, that as it is today, there is not a single priest left on earth. And as far as being a true religious Catholic, the person who wrote those words is the only living Catholic left on earth. We received in yesterday's mail from a priest, from a bishop, as it were. Again, another big manila envelope with page after page after page after page of argument. This is a man, traditional Roman Catholic, presumably, spending a lot of his time trying to prove that even as far back as Christ himself, it was his intention to ordain both men and women to the priesthood. My beloved people, we speak of virus in our mechanical systems today. And it's serious in the mechanical system, isn't it? Because it obliterates things. It messes things up, doesn't it? What about the virus that has infected the thinking of almost all of us? And so today, as we kneel in front of a statue, a piece of chalk, but who represents someone, as we kneel in front of this statue and we give honor to the representation of the real one, let us ask the real one, by way of this statue that we have in front of us, as we place the crown on her, to be the queen of man and woman, to be the queen of heaven and earth, to be so powerful, of the one who once said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." As we kneel before her in the presence of her statue, let us mention those things that I have brought out to you. All of these things that are like, you've seen storms. We've all experienced storms. And we see how lightning bolts hit and hit and hit and hit all around us. And they terrify us. And thunder breaks loose and deafens us. My beloved people, it might be safe to say that as of yet, we have not really come face to face with real lightning. And we have not yet heard the loudness of the thunderclaps that might well be in store for us. I'm not speaking for the end of things. It is not for us to speak of those things. The only thing that is for us, that we prepare ourselves for whatever God has in store for us. And that if the thunderclap comes, if the lightning bolt does come to hit any one of you or any one of us, that if and when it does, we can say, "Here I am, Lord." Put aside the things you do not understand. There are many people who go way over their heads in trying to figure out things that they simply do not comprehend. And this flavors everything they do and all who surround them. And they miss the real central point of it all. They miss the point that in all these things that we speak of and that we shake about, it is God whom we must address. He alone understands. And until we in humility can say, "I place all of my misunderstandings, my misjudgments, my pride, my whatever, whatever, whatever that displeases God, I put that aside and I place in God and say to him as a little child, 'Dear Lord, I'm scared. Please help us. Please protect us. Please bless us. Keep us from every harm and every danger.' Unless we can do that, we shall all suffer, because God is depending on a few of us who remain who understand what we are about. In a couple of weeks, you will begin to start noticing it in the bulletins. That's why I want the men here this morning after Mass. We will be preparing for Corpus Christi. And we, on that day, will be giving honor to Christ himself in his most holy Eucharist. I want every one of you here on that day, plus more. There's no excuse my dear people, that is important enough to keep us from coming to that affair. How many places today is this honor given to Christ? You remember once upon a time it was said, the sun never sets on the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Because as the sun moved around the globe, as the earth turned, and the sun was coming to the various parts of the earth, there the earth was waking up, and there man was saying Mass. The sun never set on the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Today, how much darkness there is from the time of one to the time of another. And God is not praised as he should be praised. And therefore, when we have the opportunity, and we try so hard to bring in all these opportunities for you to learn, because some of you, many of you, certainly the younger ones of you, have never ever seen some of the things that we do. You do not know what these observances were once upon a time. You do not know that people came to church at one time or another to pray. They did not argue. Oh, they sometimes fought about various and sundry things, but they did not argue. They did not debate. They did not prove. They were humble people. And when they did not know how to pray, they simply came to church and sat and looked. As one man once said, I look at him and he looks at me. What else is there to do? If you can get his attention by simply looking at him, then in the name of everything that's great and wonderful, look at him. And he will look at you. What else do you want? What else is there for you to want? That my God looks at me. Think about it. And as you kneel in front of her today, you ask her to get the grace that you need to be able to sit down and look at God. May we be blessed this day. May we be blessed this day.